Welcome to Onc Live On Air. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Catherine Chu, MD, about the use of tepotinib in patients with non-small cell lung cancer harboring MET exon 14 skipping mutations. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Chu discussed updated data from the Phase 2 VISION trial that investigated tepotinib in this population, the notable efficacy of this agent in treatment-naive patients, and considerations for managing and mitigating the adverse effects associated with this therapy. Speaking about the evolving use of tepotinib in non-small cell lung cancer, can you just start off by briefly describing the rationale and design of the Phase 2 VISION trial that investigated this agent in patients with MET exon 14 skipping mutations?
The VISION trial is the largest trial that looked at patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer harboring MET exon 14 skipping mutations. And this trial included both treatment-naive and previously treated patients. The main efficacy outcome was objective response rate, and additional outcomes included duration of response and safety. Patients with symptomatic brain mets were excluded. And interestingly, the VISION trial also allowed enrollment based on both liquid and tissue biopsies.
What were some of the key efficacy findings from this trial that were initially published?
Paul Pack et al., they first published this study in 2020 in the New England Journal of Medicine. There were 152 patients treated with a response rate of 46% by independent review and 56% by investigator-assessed response, with a median duration of response of 11.1 months. The grade 3 or higher AEs were reported in 28% of patients, including peripheral edema in 7%. And one interesting metric was that the responses were very quick, usually seen within 6 weeks of initiation of treatment.
Long-term data were recently published in JAMA Oncology, so could you kind of go over some of the highlights from those?
There have been two additional papers published on tepotinib. One was published in CCR in 2022, and then there was an updated long-term follow-up trial published in JAMA Oncology in 2023. And this actually included 313 patients. So there were two cohorts. There was cohort A, which was that original cohort, and it also included cohort C, which was the safety cohort. And so the long-term follow-up had a bit large patient population, 313 patients. It included follow-up for over 18 months for cohort C and over 35 months for cohort A. And the response rate was 51.4% with a median duration of response of 18 months in cohort C and a response rate of about 56% with a median duration of response of 20.8 months in cohort A. So the two cohorts were fairly similar and well aligned. Another important finding from the JAMA Oncology update was that treatment naive patients had a response rate of 57.3% and a median duration of response of 46 months. So that was a very important number to me. Over 40% of patients had a duration of response greater than a year. And these numbers were higher than in the previously treated patients.
Based on these data then, especially in all of these different lines of therapy, where does tepotinib really fit into the overall non-small cell lung cancer treatment paradigm?
Yeah, I think for any patient with a MET exon 14 skipping mutation, I would give a MET TKI as my first line. There are two currently available, tepotinib and capmatinib. But I would definitely give a MET TKI as first line. Patients love having an oral option, and overall, these MET tyrosine kinase inhibitors like tepotinib are very well tolerated.
How does this evolution of data really show the importance of patients with MET positive disease really receiving the right treatment at the right time?
I think what the JAMA update showed me is that it is important to get treated first line, if possible, with the MET TKIs. So that means, one, that you have to find the MET exon 14 skipping mutation, and two, then you have to treat them with the MET inhibitor. And so I always encourage everyone to get thorough next-gen sequencing testing. And if you find a MET exon 14 skipping mutation, I would recommend starting on a MET TKI. The latest data from GEM Oncology really demonstrates that the greatest benefit is seen in that treatment-naive setting. And the reason that these results, updated results, were also so important is that they really included a much larger patient population. So we have more data on more patients, and we saw this very nice response rate in the treatment-naive patients. MET exon 14 skipping is seen in about 3-4% of lung adenocarcinomas. And so that's actually a fairly large number of patients. And so every lung cancer patient, at least every lung adenocarcinoma, needs to get next-gen sequencing testing. I mean, this is really important for all of our targets, EGFR, ALK, MET, you know, BRAF, ROS, SWN, just all of these things require it. So here at Columbia, we do reflexive testing on all lung adenocarcinomas, but I think it's really important wherever you're at to make sure that your oncologist asks or does that testing for you.
You mentioned the safety profile and the tolerability of tepotinib a little bit, but is there anything else that you wanted to add here about some safety considerations?
Tepotinib in general was tolerated quite well. I think the main side effects tend to be fatigue and then like some GI side effects such as nausea or diarrhea. But the important one and the one that a lot of patients complain about is peripheral edema or like lower extremity swelling. And this can be really bothersome to patients. Sometimes they don't fit in their shoes anymore. Sometimes it can be so severe that they have trouble walking. And so we try and really prophylax against this. When patients start on tepotinib, I try to encourage them to start using compression stockings as soon as possible. Elevate your extremities whenever possible. Low salt diet. All of these things to help prevent the edema. And then if the edema does happen, we do dose reductions or dose holds. The more serious side effect that we can see is ILD or pneumonitis. So just to keep in mind if your patient's having new onset shortness of breath or cough. The recommended dose for tepotinib is 450 milligrams a daily, just given with food, same time every day. But if you need a dose reduction, there's an easy one-step dose reduction down to 225 milligrams.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back throughout the week for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OncLive. On Facebook, like us at OncLive, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.